Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
You are loved. That's what we're going to talk about today. You are loved. You may not think you're loved, but you are. And we're going to unpack the truth of what it means for God to love us and how it transforms our world. I'm going to read this scripture and then we can be seated. John 3:16 and 17. And I kind of, in a sense, hear me right when I say this. It frustrates me the way that we've treated John 3:16. Because it's kind of become token. You kind of see it on a billboard, generally by someone who's pretty frowny. And they're like, "For God so loved the world," and they're like, "Oh, but I don't love you." Doesn't really relate, but we've lost sight of the power of this, and sometimes we hear it and we go, "Yeah, I've heard it." I want us just to take us some time to unpack this verse today and just spend some time thinking about it, okay? So some translations "for God so loved the world," and sometimes we can think of it in a sense of how big God loves us, and that's true. But a better way to translate the word they use to get "so" is more like this. It says, "For this is how God loved the world." God is he wants to show you evidence of his love, and the way that he has expressed that love, this is how he has done it: that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, praise God, but have eternal life. Now that life is eternal, absolutely, but it means life now. It means that our life can become together and be whole and complete, so that we can run into eternity experiencing the transforming power of God's love, changing our life in such profound and deep way, so that we would have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, praise God, but to save the world through him. Lord, we love you. We love your word. We thank you that you love us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On your way down, say to someone that they look amazing today. Thank you. And now tell the other person next to you that they also look really good. I can see some of you haven't said anything to anyone. You're letting the team down. There's someone on your right or left who hasn't been told yet. Make sure you tell them. And now tell yourself. Just say, "Man, I look good. I look good today." You do. You look great today. Look phenomenal. Simon Amies is looking absolutely splendid today. Look at that beard. It's just perfection. Perfection in a beard. That's Simon. It's good. Andy, you're pretty good too. It's awesome. He's got a great beard too. Why don't you stand up, you two, Simon and Andy? No, stand up. Come on. I'm not moving on until you stand up, so this could take a while. And let's just congratulate them on their beards. I just think they've done a great job. Amazing. Holding. No, that's close. That's fantastic. Amen. That's good. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Love is such a powerful thing. And before I was a pastor, I was a caseworker. I worked in foster care, helping kids get settled in placements. And I was constantly reminded of the powerful impact that happens when a child doesn't grow up in a loving environment. Love has profound impacts on our development. It has a profound impact on the way that we see ourselves, has a profound impact on the way that we view and see the world. Love has a huge impact in terms of our structure and security, feeling secure in this world. Nothing is more securing in this life than for someone to know that you are loved by someone, and for them to affirm that love in you and tell you you are loved and accepted regardless. It brings security and comfort and strength. And ultimately, that love, understanding and embracing and accepting that love, has a deep impact in terms of the way that we relate to one another and how we love each other. And sometimes we as a community in Christ, we hear about the importance of loving each other. And we want to love one another. But if you don't know you're loved, and you don't understand what that love means for you, it's very hard for you to perfectly love each other. Because you can only do what you know. You love in the way that you have seen yourself being loved. And so if you've come from a background that has not been one of the greatest love, if you've had negative experiences in that, then often you'll find yourself, the very things you say you'll never do when you get married or have children, I'll never be like that, and you find yourself doing it. Because you can only love in the way that you've been shown. So for us to understand the profound impact of God's love in our life and completely know what that means for us is just so important. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to unpack this truth. Christmas is so great because it celebrates, again, it reminds us again just how great God's love is for us. That this is how he did it, that he came and gave everything, this sacrificial love. God has revealed his love to us through the most spectacular display. No human on earth could ever display love in a more perfect way. God has given his love to all, even those to those who ultimately will reject this love. So Romans 5:7 says, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Sorry, would be. No. Would not be. There you go. Praise the Lord. I haven't had coffee today, and the Lord has reminded me. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were all sinners, while we were all rejecting and rebelling, and while we continue at times to reject and rebel God in our own lives, and while we know people that continue to reject and rebel against God, God loves. He loves perfectly. So our first thought here is a simple thought, but a simply profound thought, that you are loved by God. That the creator of the universe, the redeemer of all mankind, the one who knows us more than anyone else in the entire world, a divine being who is not off distant, this divine thing that we just worship and praise and has no interaction, he profoundly, deeply loves you. God is love. His entire makeup, the Trinity of Father, Son, and Spirit is a community of love. All they know is love. All they do is love. All they bring is love. And that divine, powerful love has been brought and revealed to us. It is a truth that you have to come to awareness of. The Bible talks of Jesus like light that came into darkness, and too many Christians and unbelievers live in darkness to the reality of God's love. But Jesus has displayed in spectacular clarity what God's love looks like and how it changes us. He loves us. God the Father has revealed his love through his creation. Just in the fact that he created was an overflow of his love, desiring friendship and relationship with each and every one of us. Knowing us before we entered this life, knowing and caring for all we do, and constantly offering us a way of life that leads to peace and hope and fulfillment. By him we are offered God's love through the Father. He loves you and he loves us and he loves the world, but he loves you individually. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head or eyebrows if you don't have hair on your head. He knows your thoughts. He knows the things that you're anxious about. He knows what's going on in your world and he cares about it. And he loves you. God the Son has revealed his love for us by giving his life to those who spat on him and to those who continue to mock and deny him. Offering a way into friendship with God through forgiveness and mercy. Through him, we are reconciled and can receive God's love. So the Father is giving love all the time. And through Christ, we can receive that love. And then God the Spirit has revealed his love for us by being our ever-present help in time of need. He is the very presence of this love. He is the experiential evidence of that love. And through him we encounter God's love. Who felt something here today in worship? No one. That's powerful. Who felt something here today? That's better. That helps guests understand that what they were experiencing before was not kind of a bad burrito they ate. It was actually God. Why don't we just close our eyes right now? Just open your hands to him if you're comfortable. That's the presence of God's love. Holy Spirit, come. He's reminding some of you how much he loves you. Some of you are so hard on yourselves, myself included, and the love of God cuts through that noise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's not a God of judgment or of anger or of wrath. He is a God of love. He is a God of peace. And the Prince of Peace and the Spirit of Peace is meant to dwell in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so this love of God is available to anyone who'd receive it. And we are all on different scales of receptiveness to God's love. Some of us have always known God loves us. We wake up knowing God loves us. We just live life knowing God loves us, and you're incredibly blessed. But many of us struggle with the thought of God loving us because we know us. And we find ourselves in conversations thinking, what would they really think about me if they really knew me? If they knew the stuff that under the surface isn't altogether, that the imperfections, guess what? God does know those things. And he accepts you. And he loves you. And his perfection in terms of what he wants to outwork through your life is not a requirement for that love. But rather, he wants to help you get unworked from some of that stuff and get free from some of that stuff so you'll be blessed, so that your life will be whole and that we can reflect his love more purely. But it is not a qualifier of him loving you. And so we sometimes, though, we carry deep levels of shame and guilt. And in that, the devil gets on top of that stuff and he condemns, and it blocks our receptiveness to that love. Some of you have to forgive yourself and let it go and let God's love in. And sometimes you have to do that every day. Some of you have had profound failings in life. Like, you've messed it up. You feel like you could win an Olympic medal of messing up life. But I've got good news for you, that God's love is for you too. And it might take a little while, it might take a little bit of work, it might take to talking to some people and getting some prayer and joining a connect group and reaching out, but God's love can come into your life and change you from the inside out. He can actually pull you back together and begin to reorder your thoughts and the way that you do life. Some of you had a horrible, horrible, horrible example of what love is. And through his word and through this community, we hope, and through God working in our lives, he can reflect what God love really looks like and what love should be and how it can work for us. And so we need to be open to this love, because this love gives us life and enables us to bring life to the people around us. So here's another simple thought that is simply profound. His love redefines our love. 1 John 4 says this, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When we understand the way that God loves us, we begin to see the way that he is asking us to love each other. We can never measure up to God's love, ever. When I put my girls to bed, and I lay my hands on them, and normally just to hold them down so they'll go to sleep. And I pray for them. And I am overcome with a love for them. It's like I can't describe it. It's so powerful, this love for your kids. And for the most of the time, your spouse. No, I'm joking. I love my wife very much. It's more her for me. But you know, I get caught out every now and then thinking, God, this isn't even close to God's love for us. So we can never measure up, but God is calling us to reflect His love, to bring it as an example of His love. And His love to us is a commitment. So the scripture talks about how marriage is actually a reflection of how Christ loves the church. And before marriage work, marriage and is this ultimate expression of love. And before the ultimate expression of love is not in intimacy or in the way that we connect in that sense, it ultimately is in a commitment. The ultimate expression of love is that when you get together and you say forever, regardless, life, death, hell, marriage, we're it. That's commitment. That's the type of love God gives us. It's an unfailing, committed love. And in that commitment, He has stepped in and given everything. So in response, we then step back to honor Him. And we are called into what the scripture calls a partnership or a fellowship. It's the same word. It's this sense of being in connection with God. And He doesn't just call us individually, but together as a fellowship, we're in partnership with God to reflect His love out. And so God's calling us into this commitment to step up and say, yeah, I'm ready to take a journey of understanding Your love for me so that it can come out of my life in a more perfect way, so that I can reflect Your love to the world in a more perfect way. He has freely given, and He asks us to freely give. So His love is sacrificial love, and He asks us to love sacrificially. 1 John 3 says this, verse 16, we know that what real love is because Jesus gave up His life. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Pastor Mark mentioned it before, but it was phenomenal going past these 200 plus hampers just ready to go out and bless. That's because you have been sacrificial. Well done. Amazing. In fact, can we just thank Oxford Falls Grammar School, because they pulled together so many of those hampers as well. And it's such an amazing thing that we were able to do, that we can be a blessing by living sacrificially. Many of you, every single week are living sacrificially in the way that you connect with one another and look after each other and serve on team and bring your tithe and give through Vision Builders, and we're able to do a great work through that sacrificial love. This kind of love is tangible. It's got substance. It's great to say I love you, but when you sacrifice something to express that love, all of a sudden that thing becomes something they can hold. I've seen people take hold of those hampers with tears streaming down their face as they've received sacrificial love. This kind of love is interruptible. It means you can stop and be interrupted. We're not too busy and get caught up that we're not able to stop and show love and kindness. This kind of love prays. Sacrificial love prays. If you were to ask me, what do you want? I want prayer. What means most to me is people are praying for me. I go to sleep at night sometimes when my mum and dad come and stay over, and generally he falls asleep way before us, but if he does kind of rally the troops and stay awake for just a few more hours and we go to bed at the same time, I go to sleep hearing him pray for every one of our family members, his friends, the 30,000 grandchildren he has. Prayer is powerful. If we just stopped and just decided, made a commitment, hey, I'm going to pray for people in this church. I'm going to pray for one another. It drops everything to be by someone's side. It spends more time listening than talking. I'm working on that one. But to take the time to just stop and listen and not judge. You don't know what's going on in someone's world and why they're doing the things they're doing. And we can be very pointy at times. And God is not a God of judgment. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. And by stepping into people's worlds and just waiting and listening, we can begin to understand and realize that we don't actually have to change them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All we're called to do is listen and love. And as we spend time with people and do the walk with people, you will find the power of the Holy Spirit will work in people's lives. As we just stop and listen in love, it acts, it helps, it cares, it calls, it gives. It serves others. I love our team. You are a phenomenal team. That's where everyone thanks our team, because they are phenomenal. They are absolutely phenomenal. Our worship team, our lighting team, our home team, our all of the different areas that we work at to make this a compelling service for our guests and something that they enjoy to attend. We need team. And I got to tell you, just a heads up warning, my goal is that every single one of you will be on team next year. You might not all turn up next week, but that's okay, because the ones that are into it will. I'm telling you, there is nothing more powerful when we lay down our lives to reflect the King. And that could be serving in a Connect team by being a leader or a host or opening your home or just being part of a Connect group. It could be part of our welcome team. It could be part of any team. You could join our sound team. Chad will help you out and connect you up, and we might just let you practice for a bit first, and in case you turn me off, because, again, they have all the power. But serving one another. Christmas spectacular. What an opportunity for us to serve this community. And so you can come and talk to some of our home team hosts, our Dee and Kerry Gadsby, who do a phenomenal job. You can go and say, if you're on team and you don't normally serve on Sunday night, say, hey, I'm going to come and serve extra because I want to be here. I want to help and I want to serve. But listen, you don't need a title to serve. You can just come along and help people find a seat and say hi to people that you haven't seen before and just help us connect, because there is nothing more powerful when we do that. It encourages the younger. It cares for the older. It notices the new. It's a sacrificial love. His love is unfailing, and he asks us to bring others security through our love. It says that God gave his son. It's kind of final. It's not like, I'll loan you my son. It's not like, I'm going to give you some love, and just like the banks, if you kind of get a bit, we'll take it back. God gave it. It's a gift. It's forever. It's unfailing. And that type of love has a profound impact on our souls. Romans 8:35, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we all have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Paul is an interesting brother. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. This type of unfailing love, it brings security, brings confidence. Our love should build confidence and security in the people around us. At home, build your family in love. Don't, in a moment of anger and feelings, remove that love or threaten to move that love. Always love. Always bring love. You will find the people that are frustrating you at home will come on a journey, but just keep loving. Keep building people with love, with your words, with your actions. Make it your intention and work on it. Even when you get it wrong, let them know you got it wrong. Don't kind of go, oh, they know I love them. They'll work it out. No, go and say, hey, that was wrong. And I love you. And I'm going to keep working on that area in my life. Let's build a community at our homes that is just centered and strong in love and is unfailing and secure. At work, do you know you spend more time with your colleagues than you do with your family? Do they know you love them? Be consistent in that. Be reliable. Don't be political. When others are kind of backstabbing and working it, you're just loving. You're bringing security to people. They're secure in their position. They're secure in their connection with you. They're not wondering why you're trying to get close to them or you're just trying to utilize them or use them. No, we love people. We just come and bring security in that love. We bring love in our friends. We're consistent. We reach out first. We remember what's important to them. And finally, his love reconciles and he asks us to bring reconciliation. Colossians 3:13 says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. One of the best times of the year for reconciliation is right now. My wife has an incredible story of reconciling with her dad, and it really started with her just reaching out at times like this, writing a Christmas card, making a phone call. And forgiveness and reconciliation and love is different to trust. Trust is built. God loves us. He doesn't always trust us. Trust is built. It's something that we earn from God. His trust to enable us to do things. That's why if we're faithful with a little, God will give us more. And so likewise, in our relationships, those relationships that have been damaged and hurt, we're not asking you to go ahead and just start trusting them like you used to, but forgiveness and reconciliation is something we can give. And at Christmas, this is some of the most hurtful times for people, but it can be some of the most healing times as well. We can reach out through just a Christmas card. Even better, a phone call. If you're really up to it, you could even invite them over for Christmas. It might be a bit crazy and explosive, but it might also be one of the most powerful healing times of that person's life. And we can help others find healing in Christ.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.